Well, welcome to Sister Spotlight, and this is our very first episode. I'm so pumped. The idea behind it is just to tell stories of people that are kind of near and dear to me. And my name's Sharon Kelly. I'm your host. And today I'm joined for my very first one. So I'm just a beginner at all of this, but Wendy is no beginner at all to life. And Wendy Treat.
Are you implying that I'm old?
No, not at all. I'm just saying you're remarkable at whatever you put your hand to.
So
thank you for agreeing to be on this podcast.
And
we just are going to spotlight your life a little bit. And what I know about Wendy and her husband, Casey, obviously they pastor in the Pacific Northwest. But beyond that, they have led and still lead a thriving church, but have lived out their faith in just incredible, profound ways. And so we'll probably take it back to the very beginning as I ask you, you know, where you grew up, and tell me about your family.
Well, okay, so there's when you're my age, you got to be careful about go back two, because all of a sudden 3 hours later, I'm still telling the story. Guess what? And, you know, I like that amplified kind of version. But I'm one of six kids,
right?
Middle. So I have a very middle personality. Yeah. Like, it makes sure everybody likes me on both sides of everything. But we were raised really, really safe. Really, in today's world of understanding, I am very grateful. I was raised very safe. My parents were pastors. They were just really genuinely the real deal, good people.
Right.
Had a lot of different issues. I was not in this perfect little world. They had different issues that they had to work through, and I saw that in life. And but genuinely, I had a very safe, wonderful growing up life. Then when I was 17 years old, kind of my family had to move, and I was a senior in high school, and my parents let me stay to graduate. Well, when they let me stay, I went to a different church than what my parents had pastored, and I said yes to Jesus. Now, that to me is like the beginning of my amazing Christian journey.
Sure.
So, you know, I went to this church, and then I knew very soon, I have this, I don't know how I know, you know what, God, you know, when I heard different people say things later on,
yeah,
because since I was so new in knowing uh-huh. God, like, but people say, well, I heard the voice of God. And I remember thinking, did I hear the voice? And I realized I didn't hear a voice. But I've tried to describe, I just kind of knew I was to go to Bible college. Now, my family That's did so go good. To college. That was kind of a thing. Of my
right.
parents were highly educated. We all had to go to college. So when I said to my parents, I'm going to a Bible college, it was a four-year really tough school, but it was not university.
Right.
Both my parents were like, okay. So that was kind of like my new beginning of life, of kind of becoming who I was to be as a Christian,
right.
too. So, you know, I went to Bible college and I met Casey. So,
That's
you know,
awesome.
Yeah. Well, when I met Casey, he came to school the second quarter, and I had, I don't think it was jokingly, as a teenager, I had said to my mom and dad in one emotional discussion, and I don't know again how I said this, I said, I'm going to marry me a redhead.
Really?
And I can still
that
see.
That is so funny.
It was so, I feel like God just prophetically used myself to tell myself, I don't know. You just kind of wanted to laugh at that.
Right.
But I had this thing about, like, I think God just kind of let me kind of get a glimpse of my future to maybe give me, I don't know, assurance.
Right.
Confidence, I don't know, but I'm grateful for
right.
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It was a true word.
Yeah.
So when Casey came to Bible college, I was like, I like
that
one.
That is funny.
It is funny, especially, okay, so now here my parents are pastors, you know, and they were denominational pastors, and they had, you know, so they were walking this unique pathway. I call my mom and I say, Mom, I've met my husband. And she's like, what? I mean,
right.
when? Like a day ago, Mom. I haven't gone on a date yet, though.
Yes.
I just met the guy.
Yes.
And she's like, well, what is he? What, you know, what do you mean? And I said, but it lives in a drug rehab program.
Oh, wow. They're really thrilled right now.
They're really thrilled right now. And here I am, 18 years old,
uh-huh.
alone. You know, I'm not with them.
Yeah.
I'm not with anybody else. And Mom and Dad are like, what? Now, thank God, you know, my parents they were great prayers. And thank God I was in a Bible college that had extremely strict rules. So it wasn't like I was just going to go wild and, you know, go out.
Right. So they know you're in a good place.
Right. I was in a really good place.
But yes. Yeah. Yeah. But so let me ask you, you grew up in church.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until you went to this different church
right.
that you accepted Christ. What was the difference, do you think? Was it because you were on your own and you were kind of able to see God for yourself? What do you think was the influence there?
You know, for one thing, Mom and Dad had spoken to me about accepting Jesus in my life.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready. I think I was just still a little hognac, a little rascal, a little rebellious. And I still, you know, I did my own thing and wanted to do my own way. But when my parents had to move, it was because of conflict. So Mom and Dad had to move with conflict.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I think in a positive way that their conflict caused me to run to God. Like, I look at it because it obviously that doesn't cause everybody to run to God, and especially because it was church conflict. It wasn't, my mom and dad hadn't done anything wrong.
Okay.
It was a church conflict thing, which some people get mad at church.
Right.
And I could have.
Right.
Because they didn't, you know, honestly, the church didn't treat my parents right.
Okay.
And I look back on that time and think, God, did you just like put beautiful cover over my heart and soul
right.
where I didn't get offended, where I could have, but
right.
I didn't. I ran to God. So, of course, my parents were thrilled when I got saved.
Yes.
And I said yes to Jesus. So, you know, I look at that, I think sometimes, and I'm grateful, I think sometimes God just maybe just covers certain things that later on you might be able to deal with better than uh-huh. than I could have at the time.
Right, right.
You know.
So you had five siblings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever think, oh, I think I want to have a big family. I think I'll have six kids. Was that ever, or did you go, nah, I don't want that many kids?
Well, I knew that I would, they called me the little mother.
Okay.
That, you know, basically growing up being the kind of the middle, and I had kind of a mother personality.
Yep.
That I was called the little mother, and I always volunteered in our children's ministry at church, and I was always going in and helping. But it's funny how I didn't think of myself necessarily of having six. I just
right.
knew I would have. So and then when I later on in life, because we didn't have our first until 7 years of being married.
Right.
As I was really praying, I really felt like, and actually Casey really had a real kind of a real word that felt really confident. He said, I believe we're going to have two boys and a girl.
Wow.
And when he said that to me, there was a confidence
yep.
and this sense of peace that came yep. upon me that was like, that just feels right.
Wow.
And again, you know, God doesn't tell everything about every little
right.
detail of life. I mean, but there's a couple, there are situations that God, right now I've told of several of my few in life. Like one is that I really felt like God spoke, I'm going to marry me a redhead. And I did. I feel like, again, it was like that when God spoke through Casey, I think you're going to have two boys and a girl. It again, had that confidence.
Right.
But that was years apart.
Right.
Where it was like, yeah. And I wonder, I look at when God speaks to us about something that comes with peace. It comes
yes.
with this sense of assurance. I wonder if he does that to bring that sense of, this is good.
Yeah.
And then I've lived that out.
Right.
And it was good.
Yeah.
It was just perfect.
That's good. So this is kind of in relationship to what you just said, and we haven't really talked about this, but when people say to you, you know, God's speaking to me every day.
Yeah.
Like legitimately, like I heard from God today. Like I literally, what goes through your mind when someone's saying that to you?
Well, I don't know if I'm, sometimes at first when I heard that, you know, because I was raised in a denominational background. So
yeah.
God didn't talk to anybody that I ever heard of in
right.
that group.
No one talked about
no
it.
No one
yeah.
ever said that
yeah.
terminology, right?
Right.
And then I get in a Pentecostal group of people and some of that terminology was used. And all at first I felt super insecure.
Gotcha.
I felt super like, uh-oh, I don't hear God. I don't feel
right.
that way.
Right.
I don't get that feel. I don't
yeah,
get
so
that.
Yeah, so what's wrong with me?
So what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And especially, I always tease that the middle child is the insecure one in the middle. You know, like you've got the confident firstborn and the baby at the end, but the one in the middle is kind of like, well, am I okay all the time, you know?
Right.
So I've spent a lot of times when people said God talked to them all the time. For one thing, I always believed them. I figured if they said it, then it really happened.
Right.
Well, as I've gotten older in God, I realize, who are they listening to?
Right.
I mean, well, wait, what God doesn't, like, that doesn't fit
right
into the character, into Genesis to Revelation. The Bible doesn't communicate that that's how God speaks every single day, except
right.
when you read the Bible, you know, yeah, when a person,
totally.
then when yeah. you read a verse and it really, what people might say, speaks to me.
Yes.
Like it says, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That could speak to me because it's not that God's voice spoke to me, but the word spoke to me.
Right.
And it's a teaching of, guess what, Wendy? Joy is your strength.
Right.
Not depression.
Yep.
Not being gossipy. Not being unforgiving. Joy. So that speaks to me.
Right.
So when people always say God speaks to them, I have to say now, I don't have it all the same. Like now I'm not jealous of that at all. I have a lot more less of belief in that.
Right.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, whatever. You
right.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear. Yeah, you just giggle, right?
I just yeah. sometimes I do because I want to go, well, don't you know certain things?
That, yeah.
Because God in his Bible, he teaches certain actions that we are to take in life.
Yeah.
He teaches us character. Mm-hmm. He teaches us how to treat others. He teaches, by reading his Bible, he teaches us how to think his thoughts. So when a person says God speaks to me, I'm like, well, aren't you obedient to do what you know to do? Then you don't need constant speaking to you
right.
about what to do right,
yeah.
what to do that the Bible teaches us to do.
Right.
You know, so.
And then it can also trump what they should do, don't you
Correct.
Think?
Correct. And when anybody, that one actually gets me the most. When
yes.
people say that God spoke to them, but it's contrary to what the Bible would teach,
right.
no, then that's not God's voice.
No, of course it isn't.
And we get caught up, I think humanity gets caught up in listening. We have our own conscience,
yep.
and we speak to ourselves.
Right, we do.
But we give God the, it's not always giving him the credit when it's contrary to what the Bible teaches. And there's been times as a pastor, as a friend, as just as a Christian, that I've wanted to say to people, that's not God.
Right.
Because if it's contrary to the Bible, it's not God.
Right.
And many people say, it. God spoke to me, but there's no Bible verse that backs that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I'm just going to have this is my green matcha tea powder.
Mm.
It looks horrific, but it tastes so good. Let me
and I have water. I'm just saying, water.
You know, we've known each other and been friends for a long time, decades now.
Yeah.
We met in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You and Casey have exhibited a life of faith in a way that not many have to Steve and I, and I'm just profoundly grateful for that. You've built an incredible marriage, been married almost 43 years.
Right.
You know, how do you stay the path in marriage?
Well, what an amazing question, because...
Mm. Big question, honestly.
Well, it's a big yeah. question. Well, one thing I would say to all the single people, like, don't date a stupid person. I mean, who you date is who you will marry.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if you're dating people
right.
that have no... if they don't love God, then
right.
they're actually out.
Right.
Okay. If they don't love church, they're out. If they don't love to give... they're out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are certain things that should be pre-decided about who you would even date. Because I think that's even
right.
to create a good marriage, you have to marry a person that has the character
right.
of God.
Yeah.
So like there are certain things like that that I would like when people tell me they're dating a person. Oh yeah, I met him, and they say someplace where they met him, and I'm like, well, do they love God? Well, I don't really know. I'm like, why would you invest? You are the most important of you, and your future is in that balance of who you are going to share your life with, who you're
right.
going to share your physicalness, who you're going to share your dreams with,
yeah.
who you're going to share your children with.
Right.
I'm like, why would you date a person that does not have a number of those qualities?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you never date anybody that's perfect. So
right.
Casey's not perfect. You know, in fact, I could tell you imperfection things after 43 years. You know, he still bugs me about certain things. You know, I mean, he won't change. I just can't believe it. I've told him many times that he has not still changed, you know, because there's no such thing as a perfect man.
Right.
Okay. But a man of character, a man that has pre-decided even before you that those are things that are about his life that he wants to have. Yes. So those are just non-negotiable. And I think too many people, and I would reverse that too for a man, exactly the same thing,
right,
a man, exactly
mm-hmm.
the same thing for a woman. But there should be certain things that are just non-negotiable. And those are non-negotiable things, because in order to create a good marriage, you have to start with it.
Right.
Now, then again, there are people, I hope, that are listening. They already got married.
Right.
And they didn't marry any of that.
Right.
Okay. Then praise the Lord.
Right.
That's where faith and patience comes in. And you don't give up on what you've already got.
Right.
Absolutely. So you
not.
Use your faith and patience. And it says you live with that person that doesn't love God as an example of Christ. So you figure out how to do that. And sometimes
right.
it could be harder than Hard. Other times.
Right.
Because I'm not saying that it's an easy path, but if you are already married, then you start using your faith. There's some amazing information about how to, you know, really live as a godly woman. Don't listen to people that don't have a marriage tell you how to have a marriage, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I always think, man, get good Christian information about how to create something that you want to have in your future. But there's that planting
right.
of what you want in your life. So what you plant today is what you're going to harvest, depending on what's planted in a
right.
year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years from now. So I just think it's very important that you also plant in your marriage from the very foundation is kindness, thoughtfulness,
right.
forgiveness, joy. You know, laugh more than you confront.
Right.
Give space
yeah.
to each other.
Sometimes with longevity,
mm-hmm.
those simple things can get forgotten, don't you think?
Yes. Yes.
You just go through the motion of life and you just get into habits, sometimes not great habits, and
mm-hmm.
you leave out just kindness. Be
kindness.
Kind to your spouse.
Yeah. Like, well, I heard one time a person say something about, like, you know, when your husband comes home or in, say whoever's home first, but, you know, in different situations, like, because we both have always worked, Casey and I
right.
both. So, but, you know, say that I'm home and he comes home. I remember a person saying, how do you respond to when you see him for the first time?
Right.
And I thought, well, I sit there. And I remember they said, how about respond like you
yeah,
used
that's really
to respond?
Good. Yeah.
And I changed.
Yeah.
I honestly
great.
Decided that's a really good idea. Because what am I doing that's more important than making that person feel valuable?
Right.
And that it trains me to constantly keep him in a priority place.
Totally.
So that I, on purpose now, sometimes I'm like, get up because you decided you would, you know.
That's really
Because sometimes
good.
It's just,
That's
it's
really
not
good.
By love. Sometimes it's by decision.
Yeah.
I just get up. How you doing? You know, hey,
That's
what's going
really
on?
Good.
I give him attention.
Yep.
And then I go back to what I'm doing. It's
yeah.
not like I have to give him
Yeah,
forever.
But you're right. It's easy to fall into those habits,
yep.
isn't it?
Yep.
You know, what would you say to someone who's, you know, maybe watching or listening and they're just really struggling and it's almost like, I just think it'd be better if this was over.
Yeah.
It's just hard, hard, hard. What would you say?
Well, I mean, there are some situations. Like, I think if you've got violence, if you've got abuse and things,
right.
I think that's a kind of a different story. There is protection for you and for your children if your children are involved with some of these things. That there are some choices that you might have to get some wisdom and make some
right.
harder choices. That I'm not gonna. There's no judgment on
no,
some of those things.
Totally,
I mean,
100%.
You know,
no.
We love people. That
yeah.
we love people and all their stories. Yeah, and everybody doesn't get what we would call the perfect ideal story.
Right.
But we love, and that's just. Reality. Okay. So there are certain situations that I just want to give people space, but,
Good.
But there is that place too, that you kind of have this storybook belief that, you know, oh, if I get rid of this one, I'll get another one, you know? And I'm like, why do you want to restart?
Right.
How about instead restart you and decide one thing that you could do to change, just one. Don't
right.
try to change everything, but maybe one thing.
I like that, yeah.
You know, you change the tone of your voice. You know, because maybe our tone has gotten so whiny at this
right.
point, mad about everything. The tone of our voice, they walk in the door and you're ready to get them right
yeah.
away, you know. Okay, so maybe the first thing you go, I'm going to change the tone of my voice and I'm going to give it a week. And I'm just going to see by me changing the tone of my voice, what will happen. And then after you've seen the fruit of that, now sometimes I'm not going to promise all results happen quickly.
Right.
Because we sometimes, depending on how long that we have sowed bad,
yep.
you know, you kind of have to decide, I'm going to be in this. And so then you change the tone of your voice. Maybe now, after that, maybe you can change the, I call it the physicalness in marriage is very important. And I think that many of us women, we get full of other things.
Right.
Our busy gets life.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, just the physical touch is yep. eliminated from. And I would say maybe the second thing is on purpose, physically touch. And
yep.
I'm not taking full on blown out wild crazy sex, even though that your husband would love.
Right.
And
right.
you could love it too. I'm
right.
not saying that. I think it's that's a great thing in marriage.
Right.
But start with the little physical touches, like when they walk by, just touch their shoulder. Or touch their back.
Right.
Start with little physical touch. And this is
That's
actually
really good.
Is really good for kids, too.
Yeah.
Because many of us have stopped the physicalness of life, and we realize, and we've gotten kind of cold in our heart. And you start the physicalness of life, and all of a sudden it starts kind of bridging.
Right.
It's something's begin to happen, and all of a sudden there's more of kindness that's working around us, and all of a sudden that thing that really irritated you realize it doesn't irritate you in the
right.
same way, and your tone comes naturally nicer, your physical touch naturally comes, and all of a sudden you find, in Jesus' name, I'm going to believe that this happens,
right?
But there's the kindness
Different.
Starts coming back
yeah.
from not only your husband or your wife, if this is opposite, or maybe even with your kids. I think this is a life of changing certain things.
Right.
I know personally in my life, my mom, when I was a teenager, my mom was a non-physical person, and I'm a high touch person. So I was in a non-touch home. I mean, I literally,
wow.
everybody around me, my mom, my dad, and my two older siblings are very non-touch people. But my mom went to some seminar when I was a young teenager, and they told to start, they said, many of your kids, you need physical touch. I can remember my mom touching my back. Now, at this point, I was rebellious. I'd gotten hard, and I remember jerking and making her stop it. I thought I was making her stop it. But my mom was uncomfortable, and she still did it.
Wow.
So she created
That's
something
really good.
That
yeah.
changed really my future.
Right.
When she started to do that, I because I wanted it, but I was also mad that I jerked, but she kept doing it in little ways, not overly. She didn't try to grab me and hug me. She just did a little touching there, and it created something in my life.
Wow.
And I know the moment. Like maybe that's why I got saved at 17. Maybe that led the way. Now, it took years, mind you, because I think she started in my young teens. So this was years of changing something in my home that had not been there before.
Wow.
That created something of my future. So you have to do certain things, and you're sowing a seed. Some seeds are like tulips. They grow up at the right season, boom. But some seeds are apple trees, and they take a little bit longer to water and to grow.
Right, right. Absolutely. I love that. Now let's talk kids.
Mm-hmm.
Three great kids. You got grandkids now. Greatest thing about raising kids. What have you loved and thoroughly enjoyed?
Well, I said I was called the little mama, so it's just wow.
Yeah.
You know, like I loved being a mom. When I had Caleb, who was 10 people, 10, that's a giant that was born. And yeah.
10 pounds, 10
ounces.
Oh my gosh, first baby.
First baby, man. He just came out.
Okay,
let me
ask you this. Did you go to the hospital to have him?
No.
You had him at home.
I did.
You had a 10-pound, 10-baby at home.
I did, yeah.
Was there a midwife there? Was
Well, this might... Okay, listen, I don't want to make anybody nervous, okay? But no, no.
10-pound, 10-baby,
yeah.
That's like
he is fine,
massive.
I was fine. Then I had a girl, 10-8, she was fine, all was fine. Then I had a 6-7, my last one. He was born 6 weeks early, backwards. And
Born at home, right?
Yeah, all born at home. But you know, at the time,
yeah, Wendy, you're a champion.
And this, yeah, and at the season, everything. I don't tell people to do anything like me. I tell you to do the best you can of having
right.
the joy. I have a book called Positive Childbirth, and in there, I really talk about the joy of the birth.
Yeah.
And too many people have listened to the world, and it's kind of like, this is the worst day of my life. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Yes. It can be running a marathon,
right.
hard.
Yeah.
It can be very challenging, but you only get it a few times in your life.
Right.
And you get to bring a
it's
human
so true.
Into
it's so
the
true.
Earth.
Exactly.
Your human.
It's like a highlight reel, isn't
it's
it?
A
right
highlight.
There.
It's
I mean, my gosh.
Like, so instead of running and hating it, I hope but people get a little bit. So when we had, Caleb first, Tasha second, Micah the third, and the highlight is just their personalities.
Totally,
and who they
I'd
are
agree, 100%.
Plain, and we were in a great neighborhood, and we were blessed in many, many ways. I mean, Casey, again, I go back to that pick your right husband. Casey, who did not have an example of having a good dad. He had no model that he had to follow because he was not fathered well.
Right,
and he was arrested, and he has that kind of a story. But I did, the character of the man came forth and learned how to be the dad.
Wow.
That, so I got to be a mother along with a really good dad. So, you know, like, but we had normal kids. I mean, whatever.
Kids are kids,
disciplining
right?
them and cheating and lying and stealing. And this is, you know, it was way back when, because my kids are in their 30s. So that means that Twitter was brand new. Not Twitter, texting was brand new.
Yeah.
Snuck right on me.
Things have come a long way.
But it's the same thing that I would say to every mom and dad, is that be aware. Be super aware. Ask questions. Don't, you know, like, look, I think parents are a little bit too permissive of just letting anything be in the kids' rooms and watching.
Feeling the pressure that, well, all the other kids do it. Right. I guess my kid does. No.
I'm like, no, you guard your kids. Right. You know, the thing is that I read is that every major person that has created any kind of social media platforms never let their own kids have them.
I know.
I'm like, if they don't let their own kids have them, I would just give a warning to parents.
Right.
To be very aware in a positive way. Learn how not to have those things as a part of your day all the time. And don't let them power them up in their rooms. I mean, they're all in a very, use stuff publicly. Help your children learn how to use all these things that are very tempting. Oh, my gosh.
Massively. And addicting.
And I'm addicted to them at times. Right. I mean,
It sucks you into this void, right?
It sucks me right in at times. So I recognize that thing because I love to get on my stuff, too. Mm. So I just give that kind of that warning to all of us to be very aware of that.
I think you're right.
Parenting is tough. let's not, you know, it's tough to be a good parent. It's on purpose to be a good parent. I read things that other people had written. I talked to moms. I had my kids, I was with them, but I also have always worked. So I always have had to balance figuring out scheduling and time and figuring that all that kind of stuff out, which a lot of people work. But a lot of people that are watching right now, you work too.
Right.
So you have to figure that out, and you have to get the right kind of people that are watching your kids at the right time that you're not there. And there's a discipline of being disciplined with it. But I would say that I am a ferocious reader. I love to read. I love to listen to books now a lot. I mean, every day I'm always – okay, I always have been. I mean – I can remember reading books in second grade. I mean, I would go to the library, I'd get my books. I mean, before that, I mean, I'm sure I did. I've always been a ferocious reader. But there was a whole season of my children's life that I did not read for pleasure at all. I did for learning because that's what I do is teach, right? Mm-hmm. So my work reading was still a part of my life. But no, I gave up I'm going to call it the pleasure of reading, not because I was sacrificing and I was martyr. I didn't actually even recognize how much I gave it up until after the fact, because I had to make space in my life. And sometimes you might have to look at your life as a parent and say, I need to make space. I cannot be consumed with something that constantly, because reading would always draw me. All of a sudden, I would just find myself go hide and read for 2 hours.
Right.
But as a mom, I realized that's always going to kind of pull on me in a way that at this season of my life, I need to make some changes. So I just quit reading. Of that kind of source, and because that way it was gone from my mind and my heart. Right. And I would say some moms today need to decide there are certain things that you just cut out for now, because it all came back. I read now because I don't have my kids all the time there, so I can.
So you
read.
Have all that time.
I got all the time in the world to do what I was doing. But I changed.
Yeah.
Now, some moms are really into, I need my space for my own, and I'm like, really? Okay. All right, well, then have some space if you want it. I think that, I don't know, I didn't think of it. And I don't think any of my friends, in my season of what I was doing with my kids, My friends weren't into finding their own space either. So I was in a company of people that were, most of them worked, most of my friends worked outside their home also and worked being a mom. And we were always together in the sense of our playtime and fun time. So we were so busy, I didn't feel neglected of myself.
Right.
I didn't.
You were in the joy of being with kids, you know. And you know, today we were talking to, just up in the office, some of those guys who, you know, tell my wife I need to play golf more. And, you know, they've all got little kids, right?
Yeah.
And you were saying, listen, you will get that time. Right now, it's labor intensive with those little toddlers. But you're right. Time comes back to you because this too will pass. They'll grow up very quick.
And it's the very time that they talk about, you know, the, what's it called? The empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay, so you kind of want to laugh because I
want him here again.
But while they were there, you're all mad.
Yeah.
So I said, learn how to enjoy the season.
True. Exactly.
It is busy and your house is messy when you want it to be picked up and you have to go grocery shopping again because you're out of food again.
Right.
And all these things. Yes. But when you don't have no kids in the house, man, my house is clean. And my grocery is full. And sometimes I'm like, I on purpose make my whole crew come over because I'm like, my house is way too clean.
Right.
I need them over here because I need some dirt. I want the mess.
Yeah.
And I think that if we would just say, you know what, I like the mess. My mom again, back to my mom, she was, you know, it's funny because we weren't the best of friends. I never like try to give the wrong image because I had that little rebel inside of me. But the one thing I can say really positively about my mom is that she was a pretty good housekeeper. Like she didn't make that the thing. And I think I learned that from her
also, don't make it
the thing. Yes. Yeah. Clean up, don't have 100 loads of laundry.
Yeah.
Get a discipline of your own life so that you know, like on Monday I do this, Tuesday, Wednesday, get a discipline of life because it's more satisfying yourself to have accomplishments and know that you're not overwhelmed. So you do kind of regular things so that you also can give to your family, but have your family do work. I mean, you know, I'm amazed at how many kids don't do their own work. I mean, of course they should clean their room. Of course they should do their laundry. They should clean up at dinner and breakfast. And of course they should pick up their toys. My grandkids come over and they don't get to go from one. Now, listen, they are running and going.
Yeah.
But I also have them pick up their mess. They just did a whole Play-Doh thing. Clean it up before
and
you
go. And then
we
go to the next.
Then you go to the next thing.
Good.
And it's not cleaned up perfect. Like, it's not perfect because when they leave, I have to wipe it all down again and vacuum. I do all that stuff later, but they're learning the process.
Great.
You know?
Well done.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Grandkids.
Grandparenting. Mm-hmm. It's the best. The best hood. Grandparenthood, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's kind of change it up a little bit and just talk about your and Casey's health journey.
Oh, yeah.
Because a few years back, both of you went on a pretty significant health journey.
Yeah.
So maybe talk about what you guys faced, and then always just full of faith.
Yeah.
Always trusting God with your health. Just talk about that
a little. Well, you know, health, I would encourage people, first thing is, do you know what the Bible has to say about healing?
Right.
We have on purpose studied and on purpose all of our life. When we were feeling good, we also knew that the Bible says, you know, by his stripes we are healed and he is wounded for our infirmities. That we see the principle from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible gives his people health. So he takes sickness from the midst of us. So some people think that God brings sickness because they've been taught wrong. They've been taught by people that forgot to read the Bible and thought God was a God of just judgment and going to, and you know, I'm like, no, God is our God that's our healer. So I don't think anybody can live on earth though and not have to deal with sickness.
Right.
So everybody has some kind of sick something. I mean, whether it's a cold or whether it's the flu or whether it's the virus that people are dealing with now and all the different things that we have gone through, I think we do need to know by his stripes we are healed. So, you know, through life, we've dealt with the kids and we've dealt with us. Casey, probably the biggest first time that we really had something that was like bigger than us was when Casey was diagnosed with hepatitis C maybe 15, 18 years ago now. And it was before, now they have created a how to get healed from that. But
right.
Casey went into the very first research at the University of Washington in our state where we live in Washington. And they put him through this huge program. And he had to go on chemo and he had to take all these drugs. And it was very hard.
Back in the day, they would say there's no cure,
There's no cure.
Right.
And at the time, they gave him a 3% chance of healing.
Wow.
3%.
Wow.
That's nothing.
Nothing.
They're like, you. And if he couldn't get healed, which is your liver, which means that we couldn't build our church building because the insurance was placed on him.
Right.
So it was one of those kind of things that you're kind of in a catch-22. Whoa, he's sick. If he doesn't get well, we can't do what we're supposed to do. We're like, wait, because all the insurance was based on him. So when we go into this and he goes into this big program, they tested him weekly for depression because the drugs they were giving, people were dropping out left and right because it caused great anxiety. So they had to figure, and Casey would just speak the word. I mean, and he would, Casey is, when he's walking by faith and he's battling, sometimes he gets very quiet because life and death, it says in the Bible, are in the power of your words. So he would speak healing, but he would feel bad. I mean, he went through, he lost mass amount of weight.
Yeah.
He lost almost, I mean, his hair got so thin and it came back even after it's grown back. It's just kind of a baby fine hair. Kind of hair. And but he walked through this, and we actually put on some really old school comedy because it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And sometimes you can't naturally build.
You're
just so exhausted. Your food tastes horrible. You're just feeling like that. But we would watch comedy, just old school comedy that's like literally black and white, old school that's still clean, kind of clean comedy. And we would make ourselves laugh. Because you're feeling so bad. So, and then, you know, then praise the Lord, he walked through that. Then I got diagnosed with cancer and I had to go through, and I didn't have, it didn't turn out to be as dramatic. I've had cancer taken off my face. I had thyroid cancer. I've had cancer taken off my back. I've had all different kinds of things, but it's kind of funny, not funny, but I have to stay right on top of it because my mom did die of cancer. So I am very aware that I am on, I keep myself on a positive short lease of making sure I check and make sure I'm staying healthy.
Yep.
Because, and my dad was a diabetic. He died young also being a diabetic. So I'm very aware and I keep an awareness.
Yeah. You're just diligent with your health, right?
Diligent with health, not afraid. And
no.
I think that many people allow fear, but fear is not of the Lord.
Right.
Faith is of the Lord.
Right.
And so we have to decide, you know, what kind of person am I going to be? When, you know, in the
I
midst
love that.
Of,
wow.
of junk that comes at you, you say, you know what? I walk by faith. Now, mind you, I have this, I want to say this to all the Christians that are listening. If you're not a Christian, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Get this for real.
Right. Yep.
But we Christians cannot be afraid, though, either in that, you know what? If I don't make it, like on earth, say my body gives out. I've got heaven.
Right.
I have a God, the Eternity. Promise of heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven is better than earth. Now, I'm not going there early. I am staying long because I've got kids. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, and I'm a grandma.
Yeah.
And then I'm a pastor on top of that, too. I'm an important person to stay. I'm an important person to stay.
Important.
Well, I'm like,
yes.
I probably believe it more since my mom and dad died younger, how important that they were.
Right.
And I use that to strengthen me to say, no, use your faith when you get hit with some kind of a sickness.
Right. I love it.
But I recognize, too, that heaven is our gain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not afraid. So too many people, when something comes on them, their first reaction is fear.
So then you're on the back foot, right? You're on the defense. Yes.
Right. So instead of letting fear dominate, decide, oh, I get it. But it is just a word, and it says every name. It's got a name. So right now there's names. There's the cancer. There's the viruses. There's the hepatitis C. That's a name. It says every name must bow itself to the name of Jesus.
Right.
So we begin to just really constantly speak. You must bow. Wow. But let me end with this thought on healing is that just a few months ago, this isn't years ago, just a few months ago, Casey was not doing well. It was definite problems physically that he was dealing with. And, you know, when we were talking, okay, what's going on? And finally we both got on the phone with a doctor. And I said, listen, these are the symptoms. These are things that are going on right now in his body. He said, okay, well, okay, let me bring him in. So we brought him in. And, of course, with COVID and everything, people are all about, you know, they're all, everybody's fearful. And we said, oh, no, he's going to be fine. Well, he had had fluid all come, what they would call a collapsed lung. Happened in his life. Now, we'd gone hiking 2 days before. I mean, I'm talking uphill hiking.
Wow.
And he had succeeded, mind you, with one lung working.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So when they brought him in, they said, you have got two fluids of liquid, around your lung, which is huge amount.
Of liquid, yeah.
So they put him in the hospital. They put a big old tube in the side of him that was not fun, and it was painful. But Proverbs teaches us, I think it's 19 verse 6 in the old Amplified, it says, "Do use every endeavor to heal yourself."
Yeah.
And, you know, I we're not opposed at all to medical help. We're very for God help.
Right.
And or any kind of thing that can help us get better life. Because you want to use every endeavor.
Absolutely.
He went in that hospital. They said, you're going to stay this long. He cut that down a couple days. They said, you might have a surgery. Nope, he cut that out. And he put that tube that was not fun, that hurt, that was not fun to do. But he walked out healed and healthy. And he's healed and healthy today.
Wow.
But fear could have dominated.
Yeah.
Fear could have dominated, especially in this time. Mm-hmm. People are letting fear be their voice. And I'm like, be careful. That is just like the tool of the devil that wants to take us down. God wants to lift us up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when fear kicks in, you just don't live the life you're called to live.
No.
It's ruling everything about your life. So I love that. And that's what I've watched you guys example for the entirety of your life. Through the great seasons and through the not so great seasons, mm-hmm. you have just walked this out beautifully. So I commend you for that. And just as we are wrapping this up, I just want to ask you, best piece of advice you want to leave us with? Maybe a couple pieces.
I like the best piece of advice. I'm 64. I've been married 43 years. I've had three kids, three grandkids.
Maybe,
what would I tell my younger self? You know, I think that maybe if I could put it in that nutshell, because it's such a big nut.
Yeah.
It's a huge, but I think you have to stay on the path.
Yeah.
In the valleys.
I love that. Yes.
In the hardest times. Yeah. And we have had some very hard times. You know, sometimes when you listen like this, it's kind of like, oh, well, they've just had this easy life and everything's gone really good. No, we have had some devastating, hard seasons of life that we have lived. And wanted to jump out of the boat, you know. But I would say we didn't jump out. We stayed true to. There's a couple of things that in that staying in your path is, man, you stay true to loving God. You stay true to your relationship with Jesus. You stay true to your church.
Yep.
God says, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. He says it for a reason. And the hardest times of certain times is that I did not forsake being in church.
Right.
And then it says to worship, to lift up hands where you worship God. And I've had tears flying down my face. And those tears were not out of joy. Those tears were out of total despair at times. Yeah. Yet I would stand there with my hands lifted up, tears going down my face, feeling like a failure of all failures. And I would still do the thing that God had really shown me to do. And it was hard. I'm not saying it was easy. Staying the path in the midst of the hardest times of life is hard to do. But you do it anyway. And then you do it again.
Yes.
And then you do it again.
Do it.
And you, like me, I had to work on my tone so that I didn't get mad all the time. And my tone wasn't angry all the time. At the hardest moments, all that flesh wants to just come out and fly. You know, you want to yell and scream and yell and don't do the right thing. Don't talk to God. Don't pray. Don't worship. Don't go to church. Be mad at everybody. Accuse everybody. Be a victim of life. But you just have to decide, I do feel a little victimed right now. I do feel a little mad right now. I do feel a little mad at you, God, right now. God's not afraid of that.
Right.
He's not afraid of your frustration. But still stay the path. Because what I have found over and over, not just one time, not just two times, many times in my life, when I've stayed that path, I've been able to walk through the valley and get to a different place. But if you get off the path, you get lost.
That's so true.
You get lost.
Wow, Wendy. Wow. Thank you. as we bring this to a close, I just want to say you've been an incredible friend to me. In fact, a part of the reason I'm sitting here is because you've been in my life. Incredible encourager. But you've challenged me deeply in the very best way. And so, again, today, I know you'll all agree, we've just got an insight, sister spotlight, but really just kind of like a little view into your world, and it's been incredible. I love you. Thank you. And I hope you enjoyed that. And we'll be doing some more of these, and we'll let you know all about it. God bless you.